Please turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to a meal. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at a meal in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden her him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I had entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at the meal with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgives sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." As I've been reading through the Gospels recently and just meditating on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he deals with people, he deals very differently than I would deal with him. And it's a challenge because I'm called in Scripture to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, the way I would deal with somebody would be very different, and it's almost in contrast. And we have a clear contrast here of this woman and how people were looking at her. But you know, when I thought of this passage, and in verse 38 in particular, you see this woman here, you know, she's weeping, she's washing his feet with her tears, cleaning him with her hair, drying him, she's kissing him. What would you think of that today if you saw somebody do that? What would you think? You know, probably, I would say our attitude probably would not be far different than this Pharisee's. Doesn't he recognize? Look, who's this woman? And I often think we probably lose great opportunities of witness because of the attitude that we have in our own heart towards the people that are around us. And oftentimes we look at people in a downward fashion. That Pharisee had a problem. He thought of himself better than that woman, didn't he? I mean, I put myself in that situation. It's like, what, Jesus, you know, look, and he's thinking of himself better than Jesus too. Because if this Jesus was really a prophet, he would know who's touching her and he wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't be defiled. But you know, brethren, the only way I know of reaching the world is by going to the world and telling them about Jesus. And sometimes you got to see things and do things, not that you're sinning, but that what other people are doing. How are we going to reach a world that's fallen without approaching it? You know, I think of the missionaries that have had to go to certain places in Brazil and the Amazon, have had to go to places in Africa. Don't you think they get sick? They get some of the diseases that people that they go to reach. You know, I've shared this before, and it's been a real lesson for me in working in the prison in Spain. When you're working with a lot of people from different cultures, they're not all real clean. They're not all real clean. And, you know, my co-worker, one of the things he's taught me is we get into that Bible study, you know, where people are arriving and we're giving all these men hugs. And I tell you what, that's been a real lesson for me, a wonderful lesson. And I don't know if those men come for the Bible study, or they come for the hug, or both, but I think they can see the love that's being expressed to them. And in the world in which we're in, here this woman was in tears, and yet this Pharisee was judging. And it's interesting. He's thinking this in his heart, right? Because that's what you have in verse 39. It says, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. So he's speaking inside, right? He's talking to himself. Jesus is wonderful. Next verse. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him. So here he's talking to himself, thinking about what is transpiring. And the Lord says, I know what your thoughts are, and I'm going to discuss this whole very issue. And he comes up with his little story, doesn't he? Two creditors. Okay? One, you owe 500 pence. Let's say that's $50,000. Doesn't matter the amount. And it's the other one's just 10% of that. 50 bucks. $500. Which one do you think is going to love more? Which one do you think is going to love more? And you know what? It didn't take this guy very long, and he answered, didn't he? Look at the end of verse 42. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. The Lord has given his seal of approval here. And what is he saying? Love is proportional to forgiveness. Love is proportional to forgiveness. And you know, when I think of children, I was just reading a book recently, a guy by the name of Howard Hendricks. He was an inner city kid. You know, he became a professor at Dallas, but he was a terror. Nobody wanted that kid around. Nobody wanted that kid around. But at the tender age of 8 years old, he got saved. And he went on to be a servant of God, teaching dozens and dozens, having seminars for hundreds and thousands of people along the way. I look at this and I say, oftentimes, it's not that people are forgiven differently. It's how you view the forgiveness that's been offered to you, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, I'm a wicked person, but so are you. But you may say, well, I'm not that bad. And I think as we come to a point of confession where we accept Christ, the years go by, hopefully we recognize our sinfulness even more. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes we build up a self-righteous attitude of, I'm just dotting my I's just right, crossing my T's just right, and I'm just going through all these motions, and you know what? I'm not that bad person that was before. You're not? You know, I think when you go over to seeing how Jesus dealt with the adulterous woman, and they're ready to stone this woman, and Jesus said, he who's without sin, throw the first rock. Who walked away first? The younger people or the older people? The older people. Why? Because they recognize the longer I live, the more I recognize my fallen nature, my ability to not attain to that which Christ has for me. And that there should be a development of grace in my life, shouldn't there? The older I get, the more grace I should have for those around, because I recognize the feet of clay that I walk with every day. Every day. And here when you see this picture and you see what this man has done. He's judged rightly. Yes, if you recognize that you've been forgiven much, then you'll love much. And isn't that the key? Isn't that the goal that we should have as believers? Every day of our life to recognize that much more what Jesus has forgiven us? That, you know, it's not this, I accept Christ and I'm just stuck in concrete there for the rest of my life. Yes, He forgave me. No, as every day I walk with Jesus, I recognize, Lord, how could You forgive me? And You've forgiven me again today. Lord, I should know better not to do that. And yet I stumble. And yet, Lord, You forgive me again and again and again and again. And you say, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And that's the love that I can project to others around me, isn't it? Because that's precisely what this woman was doing. She wasn't there to show the world. She was there to manifest her love to Christ. And as she poured out those tears, as she poured out those kisses on His feet and that ointment, everybody in that room could say, that woman loves Jesus. And isn't that the New Testament church? What does it say about the New Testament church? As they went around evangelizing, they say they knew that they had been with Jesus. You know, there is nothing more magnetizing in this world than people recognizing you walk with Jesus. You know, I read a book some time ago, and this one sister, she was a missionary in Ecuador, and she was saying these were people who had killed those five martyrs down there in Ecuador back, you know, 60-something years ago. And she said there was never a Sunday that didn't go by when those men did not cry at the breaking of bread and thank God that they were saved. They were saved. Now, those men recognized that they murdered. They were murderers. But are you anything less? Are you anything less? I don't know how many times I've gotten angry at people. And the Lord says, with the same anger, it's as if you had killed someone. But see, our level of standard of sin is, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. And yet this woman, she was being judged. She was a sinner. She was probably a prostitute. It doesn't tell us exactly, but she was one of those women that was out there from the city. She's a pretty bad woman. But you know what? Simon the Pharisee wasn't any better, was he? Yet he was judging this whole situation in a different perspective. And look at how the Lord contrasts this now in verse 44. And He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into your house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. There's three contrasts here. This first one, it was customary to walk into someone's house, you would get your feet washed. You know? And this guy, Simon, didn't even have the kindness to wash Jesus' feet. But you know what? The Lord's so sovereign. He loves it. Why? He sits down. Simon, that day he didn't wash it. Don't know why. But boy, he recognizes right away, this woman, I don't know how, can you imagine how many tears it would take to wash your feet? I mean, I bet you she was bawling. I bet you she was just pouring it and pouring it and pouring it out because she recognized what Jesus had done for her. For her. And I can just see that beautiful long hair just drying that hair, drying those feet. Can you picture that? What a scene. What a marvelous scene. She was expressing her love for her Savior with those tears and with her beautiful hair. Verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Listen, Simon, I come into your house. You don't even greet me with the customary custom, you know, of
kissing. You know, in Spain, we give two kisses, one on the right side, one on the left side. And we give you a hug. We don't wash feet, but we do give kisses. So, you know, somebody here, Simon, Jesus comes into his house. No kisses. And this woman, I don't know about you, but if you were standing over to the side, you can imagine. And tears and just bawling. And there's just this scene. She's making a scene. And most of us will probably say, oh, you know, what's she doing? She's making a scene. How many of us stop so short of loving the Lord because we don't want to make a scene? We don't want to express the love and the passion for Christ because we don't want to stick out. This woman stuck out so badly. Nobody could leave that room without recognizing this woman. There's something special this day. And then, verse 46. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Can you imagine that alabaster jar? She opens it and she pours it on these feet. Feet that she had washed with her tears. She had dried with her hair. She had kissed with those lips. And now she pours this ointment. And I can imagine her just rubbing it into his feet. And just the aroma filling that whole room. That whole room. You know, when you're in love with Jesus, people can see it. People can hear it. And people can smell it. They can. But you know, this woman was not preoccupied with Simon. She was only occupied with Jesus. Because I tell you, and this has happened to me often, you get occupied with the Simons in this world, and you know what happens? Your joy gets stolen. Your love gets stolen. Because now you're trying to talk to someone instead of serving the Lord. Instead of serving Him. And I tell you, there's a lot of Simons in this world. Because all they can do is have an attitude problem. They have an attitude problem when you're out there giving all you can in the way you can to love Jesus. Because you can look at this woman and say, well, you know, she should have done it this way, or she should have done it the other way, or this way. And all of a sudden, all you're doing is not expressing the amen. I see Jesus saying amen. That's what you should have done, Simon. From when I walked in this room, that's how you should have treated me. That's how you should have treated me. But guess what? Simon didn't have time to wash feet. He didn't have time to dry those feet. He didn't have time to give the Lord an appropriate greeting. He didn't have time to anoint him. He was too busy judging him. Too busy. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You know, when I think of the fact that Jesus had to go to the cross for my sins, all of my sins, when I think of the fact of how many four-letter words I would say as a young man, and let me tell you, I would cuss. I got thrown out of one basketball game because I cussed that ref up and down. But you know what? Jesus forgave me that when He died at the cross. His death, His shed blood was what I needed for the forgiveness of those four-letter words. I don't think I worked in a hotel, 16 years old, and I had a pile, probably 3 or 4 or 5 foot high, of pornography. I had to clean the rooms. So all these men left their pornography. And I would collect it, and I would hide it in the housekeeping room. And when I was done with my job, I would just go in and see all that trash. You know, I look at that and I say, Lord, You had to die. You had to die on the cross because I was a sinner and I am a sinner. But you know, how many times have I forgotten all the things that the Lord has forgiven me? That was almost 40 years ago. And then I think of what I did yesterday or the day before and inappropriate behavior. And I say, you know, Jesus had to die for that too. Jesus had to die. And I think, Lord, help me to recognize my saddest state. Not to be introverted and to focus on me, but rather to see the price that had to be paid to forgive a sinner as wretched as me. But you know, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're talking about a woman who did what a wonderful act. And I think, how many people will you be exposed to in the next day or two, or in the next week, or in the next month, that might be somebody who the Lord may use greatly? You know, when I was thinking of this passage, I was thinking, do you think this woman would have known that 2,000 years later we were talking about her? Who would have guessed to talk about a D.L. Moody or a Billy Graham, a George Verwer, an Apostle Paul? I think, you know, of the kids in Awana, the kids that come on Saturday, what happens if one of those kids gets turned around? What kind of fire do you think they're going to have? You know, I went to school with a kid, he's a grown man now. He said he was a little devil at age 8 years old. He said it was one of his teachers after school presented the gospel and got saved. It was so clear, it was so night and day, that this boy was used mightily to lead others to Christ. Just like we talk about this woman. She was forgiven much. And I tell you, when I hear this young man, this brother, talk about him being saved at 8 years old, it blows me away because he's got a wonderful testimony. At age 8, he was a terror. And I think we've got some terrors here, don't we? And I'm not talking about terrors as far as weed is concerned. I'm talking about real dynamite kids who, if they get turned around, what could happen? But brother, sister, if we're not manifesting our love for Christ, how He has forgiven us, how do we expect children and young adults and adults to be drawn in? Because I'll tell you what, it's easy to look at a young child and say, oh, he's just a terror. Just put him aside. Forget about it. Man, he's never going anywhere. It's easy to do. It's the easiest thing. What this Pharisee did is the easiest thing to do. Jesus, don't you see what you're doing? Look at this woman. Just don't let her touch you. And you got other stories too with the apostles. What did the apostles do? The little children come and sit on his lap. Oh Lord, you're too busy. He wasn't too busy. He said, let the children come unto me. Isn't it true? But how, you know, like somebody once said, the first Bible anyone's going to read, the first expression they're going to see of Christ will be your life. Is your life a clear manifestation of this Jesus? Of this Jesus who was tender, who was compassionate, who was loving, who said, he who is forgiven much loveth much. You know what? I could see the Lord that day. He stood up for this woman. Why? Because there's nothing that touches his heart greater than when someone loves him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of how far short we fall, Lord, in our love for you. Lord, we pray that truly our lives would be manifest and how greatly, how wonderfully you have forgiven us. And Lord, that our love would be like that sweet, fragrant aroma that would fill a room, Lord, as we walk from place to place, as we work from place to place, as we study from place to place, that truly, Lord, people would know that we've been with you, that they would be attracted. Oh, Father, we just thank you again for your Son and all that he means to us. Help us to grow more in love with him every day, Lord, for we ask in his precious name. Amen.